Excellent job, young people. Thank you. It was a privilege to, I had the privilege of watching that skit several times. That was one of the dramas that they were able to perform at many of the schools that we're able to go to, the many of the public schools that we were able to go to. And of course, our ministry team did a fantastic job in preparation. All of those words that the kids were wearing were done in Swahili and written in Swahili, so all of the students absolutely knew exactly what was being portrayed. And it's just a powerful, powerful reminder. Had a lot of great responses from that video or from that skit alone. And then our students also came up and were able to explain the forgiveness of Jesus Christ in just a great open forum with literally thousands of young people. And we'll get to that in just a moment. This morning, it is a great privilege to be with you here this morning, to be able to share with you about the trip that we just took. But hopefully more than just a mission recap, more than just, if you want to say, a devotional of encouragement to you at the end of my time here, I pray that what we're able to show this morning is the blessing of sacrifice. The blessing that not only hopefully you as a church body were able to receive by hearing this report, but how the sacrifice of many over a long period of time, a costly sacrifice, was able to lead to great blessing there during our trip. The trip was just an absolutely amazing time. But I would say it was a time, it was incredibly difficult as well. And we're going to share some of that. We're going to share some of the difficulties that we had, some of the sacrifice that we needed to make even on the trip. But it was just fantastic on so many levels. And what I want to recap with you this morning, yes, is the trip. But again, I want to recap the sacrifice that was necessary by so many in order for a trip like this to happen. And Lord willing, the sacrifice that was done, what it will lead to literally for future generations there in Tanzania. The theme this morning, what I'd like to share with you, is that sacrifice is costly. That is going to be the theme of what I'm going to be sharing. I'm going to be sharing that in the recap form of the trip, but also in a biblical challenge here, a godly challenge, Lord willing, as we conclude our time. But sacrifice is costly, and I want to talk on four areas of how sacrifice is costly, and four specific ways that sacrifice and whose sacrifice, basically. And the first one is the sacrifice of our church. The sacrifice of our church. And as we go through this, I just want to list them very briefly. What I'm going to do is go through and kind of list some of the different aspects of sacrifice, and then I'm going to go into some greater detail and explain and give you some stories and show you some pictures. Is the PowerPoint working? Just a heads up. Okay, sorry. I just wanted to know, because if I'm going to refer to pictures, I wanted to make sure they were there. All right. Thank you. Sorry, guys. But the sacrifice of our church, and the first one is obviously prayer support and the time and the support that many of you spent on your knees. I know Harvest Partner was consistently, they're praying for us constantly. I know many of you parents, many of you came up to me before we left and said, we've been praying for this trip. We've been praying for your fundraisers. We've been praying for your students that they would be prepared to go. So I can't thank you enough for the prayer support. And anytime you pray for someone, it's a sacrifice of your time. It's well worth it, but you sacrificed your time. The financial support, the sacrifice, through the fundraisers that we do, through youth ministry, through these things called attractions books. And some of you are like, wow, you're at it again, selling attractions books. Yes, we have another fundraiser or another mission trip for next year. I'm not even going to talk about that right now. But attractions books, through the meals that we provided at different things, through the color run that we had last spring. Church, you incredibly were giving in your financial support. Many of you also even hiring our teens to do work around your home, yard work, things like that. We're so thankful of the giving of this church. And as mentioned before, the Easter offering. What an awesome, awesome display of sacrifice by U of A Church. $57,000 came in the offering, and our target was $20,000. I'm going to go through in just a few moments and give you a very detailed description of how that money is currently being spent and will be spent, as there is still some that's being used out of that $57,000. So you can see how that one offering, how your sacrifice really, it can expand, and I'm going to even describe it, to the number of pastors, to the number of churches, to the number of people that were touched by that one offering. And I would apologize right ahead, straight away, right now. I'm talking way fast. I totally understand that, and I'm sorry. I almost made myself out of breath. I'm talking so fast. I just see the clock winding down, and I know much how much I want to get to try to describe this trip. So bear with me, please. I usually talk fast, but this morning I might even talk a little faster. But it's the sacrifice of the church. Secondly, the sacrifice of the missionary that was there. Nathan and Bonnie, their parents there. There's Vernon and Mary Smith with two of our young people, Kamari and Kayla Saunders there. Their faithful service in Tanzania for some 25 years or so. They're in Tanzania doing church planting, evangelism. In fact, one of the things that strikes me so much is way beyond even their hospitality, that they were just unbelievable in hosting us as an entire team, but just their heart for people, their heart for people to hear the gospel. Almost all of the pastors that we interacted with in the local churches that were established in the villages have been led to the Lord by Vernon and trained. And those pastors have led other people to the Lord that are even pastors in other villages. It is just incredible, their ministry that they have there. Not only that, but starting schools, large youth camps, ministry into the public schools where we're able to do dramas like you saw here and present the gospel to literally thousands of young people. But the sacrifice of their hard work, but the sacrifice is also, as you realize this, that their children are here in Lynchburg. Here you have Nathan and then Bonnie Gould as well, and then their grandkids, and that's probably even more important of a sacrifice, that their grandkids are here in Lynchburg. And then also just the tireless effort given by the Smiths, their sacrifice being with us that time. It is not easy to host 32 people, 22 teens, 10 adults, to make sure that all the logistics are taken care of, and they just faithful in their tireless efforts. So they are to be absolutely commended, but in order for a trip like this to happen, there's incredible sacrifice on their part. Let me encourage you, church, never stop praying for our missionaries. The sacrifice is great. It is great. The rewards, the blessings are wonderful, but the sacrifice is great. Also, I want to talk about the sacrifice of Maloa Village. Maloa Village is where we were able to build this church, where we were able to, the whole part of our campaign and raising money and things was raise the roof, and we were able to put a roof onto this church, and that was the theme of our Easter offering. But let me just tell you a little bit just about this village. By faith, they literally started making bricks by hand 3 years ago. They approached Pastor Vernon and said, we would love to have a church of brick and mortar and tin roof church that we can have in our village. And at the time, he didn't have the money to provide that. And he said, you need to, by faith, begin putting your faith into action. You need to start making bricks. You need to start praying for that opportunity. And by faith, they started making bricks by hand. And over the last 2.5 years, they had made 7,000 bricks. Had a pile, quite the large pile of 7,000 bricks that they had made by hand. And as Pastor Vernon and I were talking, he said, yes, we will commit to come to this village, and we'll commit to raise the money for what will be the roof system and the tin and everything that they need and the foundation and stuff. And he said, I will tell them, and they'll, by the time you get there, they'll make another 7,000 bricks. They had 14,000 bricks that were made ahead of time by hand. The village, these Christians in the village. These are some of the hardest working individuals. I said they made over 14,000 bricks. They literally cleared a road for us to get into their village by hand. We have a little video of that for you.
Hey guys, I'm here in Maloa Village, and it's quite wooded, as you can see.
It was
and
at night.
Behind me, we have a group of the local people, church members, who are actually trying to clear a pathway, make kind of a road, so that we can get in here fairly easy.
All pretty right. Cool. We'll maybe come back to that if we can
here
get that up.
Here come the
ladies
give me a heads delivering
up.
Rocks for the road. This is how you carry rocks in Africa.
All right. If you guys can get that up and firing, we'll show that in just a few minutes or whatever. You're going to have to trust me, I guess, by hand. Literally by hand, they made this road. Now, let me just say this. When you envision road, don't think of road as you would envision road here. All right? Think of Mogul's course on an Olympian ski downhill. That's closer to the road, but ladies and gentlemen, the effort they gave, just absolutely incredible. About the last mile or so off of the main road, a little less than that, but they literally were cutting through banks and leveling those things off, dragging the dirt into areas. If we can get the video shows the women of the village carrying, there we go. We can see some, is that ready? Perfect. Let's show it now so I don't have to describe it.
Hey guys, I'm here in Maloa Village, and it's quite wooded, as you can see. And behind me, we have a group of the local people, the church members, who are actually trying to clear a pathway, make kind of a road, so that we can get in here fairly easy. Pretty cool.
Here come the ladies delivering rocks for the road. This is how you carry rocks in Africa. First of all, it's ladies' work. Second of all, you carry it on your head. That's the easy way. Check them out. So there they go, back off to the rock quarry to get more rocks.
As you notice in the ravine, and basically that's what they had to fill. They had to fill a ravine in order for us to get across, not only with our buses, but for the larger trucks that were bringing in all the building supplies. And we couldn't get any of the supplies within a mile or so of the camp or the village unless they spent a lot of time leveling out that ravine enough to get vehicles through. Again, it would not be a road, what we would consider a road here in the States, but it was an incredible effort on their behalf, which we saw constantly. Another example of their sacrifice was one of the head elders there couldn't afford to go back and forth to the village every day. So the Tuesday that we arrived, he arrived as well early, actually the day before, and he stayed there the entire week, had no change of clothes with him, had nothing with him, no provisions, and he basically just ate when we ate, and when they left, he found places to sleep if someone had extra place for them. There were several nights that Pastor Vernon told us that he grabbed a blanket and just curled up under a tree. But the reason that he was there was to make sure that our team was taken care of. That was his priority that week, was to serve, was to help. That is an incredible sacrifice. And we could go on and on about the effort that every morning several of the Christian ladies there in the Maloa village woke up at 3:00 in the morning to begin preparing tea, begin to preparing bread and different things for us so that we would be able to have a snack that morning when we arrived and a time of community around there with tea and other meals that they prepared the meals for us. Just an unbelievable sacrifice. We felt so incredibly humbled and honored to be there. But I also want to talk about the sacrifice of our team. These four areas of sacrifice, we were absolutely blessed to go and be part of this team, but our team sacrificed. They sacrificed greatly. Many of our students, some of our students raised every dollar of the $3,200 to go on this trip. They had no other outside support come in. They raised every dollar by doing odd jobs, by working part-time jobs on their own. And they just did a fantastic job of seeing the need and setting their mind to it and raising the money. They worked exceptionally hard at raising the money. The sacrifice of our team, I always think of this. It is never fun to ride in an airplane for 17 straight hours. That's a sacrifice, especially at my height or whatever. So I just hate it. But anyway, it's a sacrifice. But it's part of what we need to do. In our comfort zone, we were stretched beyond belief. The entire first week, I can honestly say that we ate rice and beans three meals a day for 7 straight days. That's a sacrifice. We were thankful for it, but it was a sacrifice. Our trip to the village every day on our work team, the trip to the village took us over an hour and a half to get there, and it was only 20 miles away. The roads were just that difficult and challenging. We were physically exhausted in only 4 days of work. The work team, we built 36 benches. We sanded and stained them all. We built 10 roof trusses and installed the tin roof on top of it. We put up fascia board around the whole church and painted the entire interior of the church. I think here's a picture of the benches. There's a picture of the church. Quite the view of the church, isn't it? It's amazing where it's located up on top of the hill there. You can literally see it from miles away on the other side as we were driving in. Once we got the tin roof on and the sun was shining, it just glowed like a light on the hill up there. It was just incredibly beautiful. But a quick story here of even God's provision. There's literally represented in those benches and those trusses that we're starting to build, literally thousands and thousands of cuts that we needed to make. And my brother-in-law in Seattle works for a construction company, or they provide materials for construction companies. And I talked to him, and here you have a secular company that donated two very expensive skill saws that were just amazing, and a 25-pack of blades, just several hundred dollars worth of materials. It was an incredible thing to receive these, and we were so excited to go and use them. And Pastor Vernon told us that less than a month before we got there, they had no idea how they were going to use those saws because they didn't have generators enough to provide the electricity that they would draw. But less than a month before we arrived, a family left Tanzania, a missionary family, and they told Pastor Vernon, you can have whatever we've left in the house. And in the garage was a 110 generator. It wasn't functioning. It was messed up. He took it to the small engine repair. Very minimal work and effort and expense. And they had it up and running. And we were able to use the saws that God had provided for our trip and for our work over there. So our ministry team was also ministering in public schools. We all ministered the last 2 days at a school. All together the second week, but they ministered to at least two schools a day. As our team was building, they were ministering in public schools every day. And their faith was really stretched. There were several of these schools that the majority of them were Muslim schools. In fact, in one school, there was one Muslim teacher that stood up and interrupted everything and told the Muslim students to leave. They didn't have to stay for this. A few left, a lot didn't. And several accepted Christ that very day at that school. So God was working. We saw that. And here you just see some pictures of our students being able to minister in the schools. We also had the privilege of going up to a church, as Pastor Vernon called, the church up on the mountain. But on the way, we stopped with a local church at a river and got to witness a baptism in the river. And it was just an absolutely amazing thing to partake, where all of the Christians standing there on the riverbank singing as about 15 to 20 or so walked out and were baptized in the midst of this river. It was just a fantastic opportunity to see the local church in action there in Tanzania. And then we did an adventure. And I'll say this adventure because it was somewhat scary. All of us climbed on the back of a motorcycle and we headed up a mountain. 32 of us, or about 35 of us, and as we headed up to this church, it was just an incredible time that we literally went up this mountain road up to this, up a path. They called it a road again. That's a very loose term in Tanzania. But as we head up this path, and I want to show the next picture, please, if you would, of our students going up. This is, that was the beginning, and it got worse. But as we go up this... As we go through this hill, and some of our young ladies who are, they were kind of tiny, these motorcycles didn't have much issues. But then there were several guys like my size on the back of these, and I probably weighed more than the motorcycle and my driver combined. So it was there were some challenging issues. But it was wonderful. And the great thing about it, we get to the top of this mountain church, and we start our program to try to be an encouragement to this local church. And the pastor there at the church had invited all of the motorcycle drivers to come in and partake in the meal that they were providing for us and partake in the service. And well over half of them, probably about 20 out of the 30 or so, came in and sat down and heard the gospel presented. And those guys, I was sitting behind them, they were fixated on what was going on. And they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, all because we hired them to be our taxi for that day. And so just an incredible, incredible experience, but stretched us mightily. It was a great adventure, but it was a little bit of a scary adventure. The other thing that was I could say about this about stretching us literally is there's no such thing as personal space when it comes to the number of people they put on a bus or the length of service, which lasted 5 hours that we were at one of the services, and it just really does stretch your understanding. But please understand this: I would go back tomorrow and do the same thing and face the same things, and I know our team as well, but I wanted to share with you as we get into this that anything worth doing requires sacrifice. Anything worth doing. It requires a sacrifice of your time, because it will cost you something. Sacrifice will cost you something. You will need to sacrifice your time, your energy, your physical comfort, your emotional comfort, your spiritual comfort, your preferences, your money, your time with family. And many of you could even list other things that sacrifices cost you. So the question is, as I talk about sacrifice, the question is, was it worth it? Was it worth it going? Was it worth the money? Was it worth the sacrifice of time, of prayer, of energy, of effort, of eating, of getting sick, of other things? Was it worth it? If we have that video of Pastor Vernon sharing with the church.
Hello, Heritage. Greetings from Arusha, Tanzania. I'm Vernon Smith, and together with my wife, Mary, we are missionaries here in East Africa. Who would have thought that a group of 22 teenagers and young people, 10 parents and leaders from Heritage, ordinary people, could come to East Africa and accomplish extraordinary things? The ministry team shared Christ in 9 public schools and in our own private primary English-speaking school. On their rounds, they saw over 50 young people make professions of faith in Christ. The work team was able to finish building the roof of the building which Heritage sponsored, making friendships and relationships throughout the week. On the Kill the Cow Dinner on the Grounds dedication day, this church with a normal attendance of 60 to 70 people saw over 400 people in attendance, and two Maasai men accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, all of this has been made possible because of normal, everyday, ordinary people at Heritage. The Easter offering which you have given has made it possible for us to do extraordinary things. The building has been completed, which the team set out to do. Another full building will be built with those funds. Another half-finished building will get its roof. Two other small church plants will go from a thatched roofed hut to a tin-roofed tabernacle-style building. Five pastors have already been helped with motorcycles for the ministries, and at least five more will be helped. Heritage, be encouraged. And remember, we couldn't do what we do if you didn't do what you do. We are all ordinary people, enabled by our awesome, amazing, and loving God to do extraordinary things. God bless you.
Well, there's a brief summary. In fact, the last thing I will do this morning is leave a slide up on the screen that will show a link that if you wanted to go and actually see a 16-minute long video, that a summary of the entire trip, a lot more detail than what we could show in this service, we'll have a link up there at the very end of the service that you could take and go and see the entire video. But how God moved on our trip, I would just like to share that with you. First off is the Dedication Sunday. You saw it. Pastor Vernon referred to it as our Kill the Cow Sunday, and literally, they did kill a cow that morning for us and provide a meal for us and stuff. And those 400 people he referred to, I think about 395 of them were actually in the church building itself during that service, which was 4.5 hours long. Yes, 4.5 hours long. But it was a tremendous day of celebration. They had other village churches that came, other village choirs, and there was about 8 or 10 different choirs that sang songs. I can't even begin to tell you, As we prepared this building, and saw the joy of the people when we first arrived at the village, literally the Maasai women there, the Christian women that were there, they came around our buses and literally just started dancing and singing. They never thought that someone would care enough to come around the world to help them. And to see that, and they were so excited. And one of my most vivid memories is Tara and I were actually in the church painting, and all of the teens and kind of everyone else from our had taken a walk down to see the old church, which was just about a quarter mile down or about 200, 300 yards down. And we were literally in the church painting by ourselves. And I look, and four or five of the Maasai women had come into the church, and they were literally they bounce when they dance and they sing and stuff. And they were just all silently. There wasn't a word. But they were just rejoicing silently to God for what was before them. And then one of them ran over and literally almost tackled Tara. She was painting and was very excited, but it was awesome. Scared her. Tara didn't see it. She thought she was being attacked. But anyway, it was kind of funny to watch from, I should have warned her. But anyway, okay. But as you see here, 400 or so people there were that day. Just an incredible celebration. It was amazing. Five of our students had the privilege of being baptized there in Maloa by their pastor, which was just an absolutely incredible, incredible experience for them. Two Maasai men accepted Christ during the invitation that morning. One of them I sat next to, basically, and then I came up and speak, and I went and sat back down. And as Pastor Vernon gave the invitation, well over 60 years old, he was the first one that raised his hand. He stood up and he went and he talked to the man down front, and they went out and he accepted Christ as Savior that morning and gave his life to the Lord. We were honored by the Maloa village and given gifts. Their humility is just a picture of Tara and I in kind of some Maasai shuka and some other decorative blankets or decorative garments that they made. And the garments that Tara's wearing there, they said well over $100 American for those garments that they gave her. These were incredibly gracious, humble people who would give you anything and everything to show honor and respect. The next picture, they also gave me a sheep. I've never been given livestock before, but I thought that was pretty cool. So that's George, and he's probably dinner somewhere for someone. But anyway, no, we actually got a video from Pastor Vernon, because I was personally given a sheep as the leader of the group. Our group was then given a sheep. Pastor Vernon was given a sheep, and the main contractor that helped us there that belonged to the church was given a sheep. One gentleman there, a Maasai herdsman, donated 4 sheep. That's their livelihood. That's an incredible sacrifice that he gave to us. And as far as we know, the 2 sheep that were given to Heritage or myself, are they joined up with a flock and they're doing quite well. But anyway, so we were told. Anyway, but what a day of celebration it was. The church in Maloa thanked us. They thanked Heritage for coming, and they were so encouraged. And one comment that the pastor said, as I briefly mentioned it before, they said it was such an encouragement to realize, and sometimes they feel this way, they realize that they're not the only believers out there. And we've heard that twice on our 2 trips to Tanzania. We heard it from another village, church that we went to, and we heard it again. And it just resonates in my mind to think, we take our Christianity so for granted. Because we come here and we're surrounded by 1,500 people, and a lot of our families might be believers, or we might work with other believers, or there's churches on every corner. Here, they struggle with understanding of or realizing that there's other believers even out there. And it's just an incredibly humbling thing. So that was our building, our school ministry. Over 50 young people, God worked in their lives, and over 50 young people made professions of faith throughout the week. And each one of those students will be connected with one of these local pastors that went to our school, went to the schools with them, with our team, just to make connections. And that has been just such a vital ministry that they use the public schools that are allowing teams to come in because of the connections that the Smiths have made over the years. And we come in, and even with the local pastors, and they present the gospel, and they do great things like True Love Waits, and they do youth camps, and they do other things within the schools, and they use those connections of the teams that come in to then basically advertise or push their camps and push the other True Love Waits type of things to where they can get into the students' lives, and then the students, they will connect with those students, and the pastors will connect with those students and connect with the families, and you've had literally whole entire families come to know Christ because of a connection through the public school. It's just an incredible thing to see and observe and be part of. It really is amazing. Our team was a great encouragement also to the local pastors. Many seeds were sown through personal conversations. And that's the incredible thing. We were allowed to do an hour program or so in the public schools. But then you also had where they would allow the students to have up to an hour after the program just to interact with our students. Have a time of personal one-on-one conversations. And this is where our students were really challenged and really stretched, because you're having these personal conversations talking about their love of Christ and what he means to them, and explaining to them exactly what forgiveness, how Christ can offer forgiveness, and talk about grace and mercy and all of the things that Christ did. And some were hearing about Christ for the first time, and others, Muslims, had very strong beliefs otherwise and had some great conversations. And out of these conversations, many came to know the Lord. Over 4,000 young people were able to hear the gospel very clearly over the 2 weeks that we were there, which is just an incredible experience to be able to be part of and see that. And one fun thing, our ministry team actually got to record a song in a recording studio, and they were told it was going to play on the radio, but we don't know. It's probably some copyright infringement or something. But anyway, but this is what God is doing. This is what God was allowing us to do. And what did God allow through the Easter offering? How do we take that $57,000? And I knew we needed to raise $20,000, but I had no idea what to do with the other $37,000. I knew we could, you know, when you think you know about mission stuff, but I just called Pastor Vernon. I said, Vernon, here's the deal. We raised the $20,000, and by God's grace, another $37,000 came in. He was blown away. I said, here's what I need you to do. I said, I need you to think about it, pray about it, and you let me know how to best spend that money. That money is to be spent for this building. This money is to be spent there in the villages, in to further the kingdom there. So he prayed about it, talked through it, and here's what we were able to do. We were able to build the Maloa church for actually $15,000 is what they only spent. They spent $5,000 less, so we were able to use an additional $5,000 other places. He's actually going to build an entire another church in a village. So we raised the roof, basically, if you want to say, for 2 churches, 2 complete churches. A new roof was added to a church structure that only had walls in place. So There was a hut-style church to a tabernacle style with a tin roof. There was much-needed repairs to three other village churches. This was a very cool thing that Pastor Vernon said, I'd like to do this. And at first I was like, it just kind of caught me funny or whatever. But for 10 motorcycles, we were able to give to pastors there that will allow them to serve their multiple congregations. A lot of these pastors work a job and then also will be the pastor or lead elder at multiple village churches. And they had no transportation. So they would either have to pay for a ride to go to church or preach or go to visit someone or talk on things like that. So we were able to buy them a motorcycle, $1,000 each, to be able to provide the motorcycle for them and give them the motorcycle. And the joy that we saw, and we were able to see one of the men receive one of these motorcycles, and it will change their lives. They'll be able to use that for their family. They'll be able to just use that in so many different ways. It'll even save them so much time as well. And then we're also able to do some much needed upkeep and tech upgrades there to the mother church in Arusha. And I literally had to, if you want to say, beg Pastor Vernon to take any money for the main church there. But their sound system went out. They needed a new sound system. Sports is a big part of what they do as a ministry-wise, and we were able to update some sports things that they were having. So it was just the use of the money, the sacrifice of many of you that made in giving this offering. I wrote out, it's going to impact 10 village churches or 10 village pastors and their families every day. It will give two villages new church buildings, repairs and upgrades on six other churches, and needed upgrades there to the mother church in Arusha. One offering ministering to over 8 churches through construction of some kind, and 10 different pastors and their multiple congregations. Was the sacrifice worth it? I would say absolutely. There will be the gospel going forth from those churches, from those pastors, literally for decades to come. And it could not be done without you, church. Could not be done without your sacrifice. Just an incredible thing to see. And I so look forward to someday in glory sitting down and hearing all of the results of this trip. Not because of just the trip itself, but because of the sacrifice of so many. Let me conclude this morning with what I shared with over 400 Maasai in that new church building, that dedication morning. And just so you understand that the service was supposed to be over at 12:30, and it was almost 2 o'clock when I got up to speak, okay? Just to give you a perspective. And our teens, I got to share this with you. I'm going to tell on my son just for a second. He was part of our church team choir, and we get up there, and they sing, and then Rachel was going to do a solo, and then I was supposed to sing. And I was sitting right over here, and my son, he's a big guy, and he's in the back of the choir, and we kind of caught eyes while Rachel was singing, and all the attention was up there, and he kind of knelt down so he couldn't be seen, and he looked at me. He goes, 5 minutes, you're done, okay? So he was ready for the service to be done. But so I was like, I looked at him and I kind of smiled and I looked at Pastor Smith and I said, hey, it's getting pretty late. Should I kind of cut this sermon back or whatever? He goes, nah, let's roll with it. You know, so it was just one of those things. Because it doesn't matter when you end there. We're on a very strict schedule, nursery, things like that. So I do not have another 4 hours. But just want to share with you, sacrifice is costly. I think of sacrifice in the Old Testament. And David goes to sacrifice before the Lord. And he's offered all of the things that he needs to the sacrifice for free. And this is his response. He says, I will not sacrifice to the Lord something that costs me nothing. You see, sacrifice is costly. And this morning, just very, very, very briefly, we look at in 1 Kings 7 and 8, we look at Solomon's dedication of the temple. And the first thing we see is just absolutely spectacular. In 1 Kings chapter 7, it dedicates an entire chapter to describing the beauty and the grandeur and just the awesomeness. And I don't even know if that's a word, but the awesomeness of the entire temple. It took 13 years to build, and the cedars of Lebanon and the bronze and everything that was used, it was magnificent. It was incredible. And in 1 Kings 8, verse 5, it talks about when the Ark of the Covenant was brought into the temple, they sacrificed, as it says, so many sheep and oxen, they could not be counted. We want to talk about sacrifice. What an incredible scene it must have been. The dedication of the temple, the Ark and the Ark of the Covenant coming through, the presence of God dwelling in the Holy of Holies. And I'm a visual person, and whether I made up this visual or not, but I can literally, I see the pageantry, I see the choirs, I see the instruments, the noise, the sacrifice, everything for the dedication of that temple. the dedication of that permanent, as it were, place where God was going to dwell. The costly sacrifice that was there to the dedication of the Lord. But sacrifice and dedication to the Lord always cost you something. But not only was it spectacular, it was sacred. And in 1 Kings 8, 58 through 61, I don't know if we have time to read it, but here in this passage, I would just say this. It talks about in verse 60 here, it says that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God, there is none other. And then it says, let your heart therefore be wholly true to the Lord our God, walking in his statutes and keeping his commandments as at this day. See, Solomon is dedicating the Lord's house and he offers this lengthy prayer to the Lord. And then at the end of it, we see these verses in 58 through 61. And in this blessing, he talks about God always keeping his word and that he is always, always with us and that he will never forsake us. And then in verse 51, he calls on the Lord literally to draw our hearts to him, to draw our hearts to keep his commandments and that we would walk in his ways and keep his statutes and his judgments and all those things. And he asks the Lord to do that for this reason, that verse 60 would then be true. And verse 60 was that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else. See, that was the opportunity as people would see them following after his commands and see their lives, they would understand that there is no one else besides God Almighty. See, the focus and intent on this blessing was for the children of Israel to remember the Lord and to live their lives in such a way that it would always be pushing people to God. In verse 61, he gives this directive of how we should live to make that happen. It says, let your heart therefore be wholly true to the Lord. See, Solomon was saying in order for the world to know that the Lord is God, it would not be because they had the best building or the best temple. It would be because they would be in a close relationship with God as the people of God. In 1 Kings 8, 62 and through 64, again, Solomon offered this sacrifice, this peace offering, in which he offered to the Lord 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. In fact, it goes on in verse 64, it even says that it was more sacrifice than the altar could even hold. Because sacrifice will cost you something. It is costly. He offered this peace offering to the Lord as a sign that they were fulfilling the covenant that they had with God. It represented them being at peace with God and having fellowship and communion. And we don't need to offer sacrifices today because we have the sacrifice, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who paid the ultimate sacrifice, and that is our sacrifice. And we have peace with God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. But the sacrifice was costly. It was great. But I don't want you to miss that while Solomon was dedicating the house of the Lord and everything was done to the glory and praise of God Almighty, there is still a personal aspect to dedication. You see, each person was challenged to live for the Lord. Each individual person was challenged to walk in God's ways, to keep his commandments for the rest of their lives, just as they were doing during that great time of celebration. You see, we dedicated a church on July 23rd in Maloa Village in Tanzania, Africa. And it was a day of excitement, and it was a day of joy, and it was a thrill to be there. And it was easy that day to be concerned about the things of the Lord because we were all excited. Well, 9 years ago in April, we dedicated this building to the Lord. And it was easy that day to be excited for the things of the Lord. But the question is, are we still excited about the things of the Lord? Will the people of Maloa Village be just excited now, a month removed or 5 weeks removed? How about 6 months? How about 9 years? Are we just excited to be involved in the things of the Lord and be thrilled about the things of the Lord? Because what makes a building a house of the Lord is not just the building, it's the Lord. And if we ever lose sight of that, then we didn't dedicate a church in Maloa, we just dedicated a building that they can use. And if we forget the things of the Lord and we lose our excitement over the things of the Lord, then we didn't dedicate a church 9 years ago. We dedicated a large auditorium to be used for gatherings. And I hope we never, ever get to that point where we lose the excitement of Jesus Christ because we want to dedicate a church. And if the godly people that serve him day after day and understand that sacrifice for the Lord is costly and they keep serving him day after day, then the Maloa church will always be a church. And Heritage Baptist Church Auditorium will always be a church where the Lord dwells, and it'll be a light on a hill that will be seen from miles and miles around. It'll be a place where we can come and see and taste that the Lord is great, and that the Lord is good, and that he's a loving God, and he's a faithful God, and he's a merciful God, and he's just, and he's holy, and he's righteous. So, how do we do that? I've got to conclude. But the challenge this morning can really be found in our personal dedication of our temple. And it can really be found in Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beg you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. By the mercies of God, it's only through God's mercy that we can even be a follower of him. We're to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Die to self, yet live for him. It's our reasonable service. Reasonable, that word basically gives us the understanding here that is just what is expected. It's nothing even outrageous. And then it tells us to not be conformed to the world, but transformed. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, and we can only do that by being in God's word. If we ever lose sight of God's word, if God's word stops being spoken from this pulpit, in these classrooms, in all the things that we do, if we ever lose sight of the truth of God's word, we'll just be a gathering of people in a building. And that's not what we're called to. We're called to much higher things than that. I have a trio coming forward, and we're going to close our service this morning in a song. And the theme of our missions conference, I hope I have a trio coming forward. All right. Hey, there they are, good. Okay, whew. Because I know y'all don't want me to sing. And I was gonna bust it out if I needed to. But anyway, all right. The theme of our missions conference coming up is ordinary people doing extraordinary things. And isn't that what God has called us all to do? You see, not to settle. He has called us to higher things. But we must be prepared to sacrifice personally and be dedicated to him in order to reach what he's called us to do. We're going to close our time this morning with a song entitled Called Me Higher. And Kelsey and Rachel are going to sing, and you might think this is a weird way to close a missions presentation. And it might be, but that's okay. Because the point of it is, missions just doesn't happen in Tanzania or in any other countries of where we have fantastic missionaries working and serving. It doesn't always require us to get on a plane. In fact, most of the time it doesn't. It just requires us to be personally ready to move. Ordinary people, infused by the power of God and his Holy Spirit, to accomplish extraordinary things because of who he is, not because of who we are. The sacrifice will always be costly, but it's always worth it. Would you all please stand to your feet if you're able this morning? And as we conclude in prayer, that's the challenge we leave this morning out of this. Where has God called you? Has he called you next door to your neighbor? Has he called you to be more of a light or light in your school or at your place of work? You see, we can't accomplish and rise to what God has called us to unless we're willing first to make the personal sacrifice of dedication to him. So in order to follow through on that calling, what this morning might you be willing to sacrifice? Entertainment? Your phone? A relationship? Challenging things that God can only speak to each of you and prick your heart in certain ways. I don't know everyone in here, obviously. But God has called us to great things. He has called us to higher things. Church, don't be conformed to this world and settle for what the world is offering. Strive to be dedicated and set apart and sacrifice for the Lord to see all that he has for us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you so much for this church and what it represents and the speaking of your word consistently over all of these years. The passion for missions, the passion, it is really, it's people, the passion for people. And God, I pray for this congregation here this morning. Lord, that you would touch lives, and that we wouldn't just be a little shaken, Lord, but that we would be moved to sacrifice what we need to personally to be all that we need to be in you to accomplish what you have for us. Father, I know we can accomplish greater things than what we think we can because of the power of your Holy Spirit. So, Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity that you've allowed myself and this team to experience. And, Lord, I know we're changed as a result of it. Lord, I'm thankful for this church and the love and the support they have for our young people, the love and support they have for missions, and the love that they have for you and your word, Father. Pray that never, ever sways in any way. We commit the rest of our day to you, Lord. And I again pray that our hearts would be moved to what you would have us to do. And we ask this in your name. Amen. You are dismissed. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you back tonight.